Happy Resurrection Day. You know that here at Trinity Baptist, we are one of the churches that cooperates in the Coachella Valley to provide Bibles to our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. I got a mailer this week from Voice the Martyrs. Big envelope, and it says right on there, a Bible for every believer, no matter what the cost. Can you say amen to that? A Bible for every believer, no matter what the cost. It's so great to have your own Bible. And that was brought home to me just a few moments ago of how important it is for the pastor to have a Bible. Can you imagine if the pastor did not have his own Bible? If you've been around Trinity for a long time, you know that I preach from the same Bible. It's my big black one. I use it every single Sunday. I've used it every Sunday ever since I got this job. And I'm going to confess something to you right here and now. I can't find it. I've been looking for it for about 10 minutes. I can't find it. And I need you to know that if the pastor has no Bible, we're basically done this morning. Can you say amen? But what's so great is I have another one. And if I lost this one, I would simply walk into my office and get another one. Because we live in this wonderful country, and your pastor has 14 Bibles. But there are pastors around the world that don't even have one. And that's why we can say at Trinity Baptist Church and 4 or 5 or 7 or 8 other churches around the valley, we can say a Bible for every believer, no matter what the cost. Praise God. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is alive. Amen? Why is that important? Why is Jesus' resurrection so important to you? Why is it so important? In fact, your eternal life depends on the resurrection. It is incredibly important. And Jesus is alive. And we're going to read that in this beautiful book right now. I trust that just like me, you also have your own copy of the Bible. You might have it in print. You might have it on your phone. Either way, if you have it on your phone, I'll be in the New American Standard, NASB. If you have it in your lap, whatever version you have will be fine. Please open to Matthew 28, the greatest story ever told, and stand with me in honor of the Word of God. You know that this is the story of Jesus' life. And Matthew 27 records that he was crucified on a cross and died a very real death. And in chapter 28, verse 1, we read these beautiful words. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me." Now while they were on their way, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and counseled together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews to this day. Would you pray right now, just you pray, silently in your own heart, you pray that God would teach you life-changing truth today, and that you would be able, by his grace, to open your heart and completely receive it in faith and obedience. Would you please pray for the other people in this room, that God would teach them life-changing truth today, and that by God's grace they could accept it in faith and obedience. Now quickly pray for me, that I could honor the author of the Word of God by delivering the message that he intends. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We're going to walk through this beautiful story verse by verse this morning. Matthew 28, 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. The tomb. What tomb? The tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ, the tomb where he was buried, the tomb that everyone knew where he was. Verse 2. There was a violent earthquake. A violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were like white as snow. Isn't it interesting? There was an earthquake when Jesus died, and there was an earthquake when he rose again. Listen to this quote from Cornelius Lepide. He says, "The earth trembled with sorrow at the death of Jesus Christ, and the earth leaps for joy at his resurrection." An earthquake at his death, an earthquake at the resurrection. Angels announced his birth. Angels announced his resurrection. It says there was a violent earthquake and an angel came down and rolled away the stone. And this is important. The angel did not roll the stone away to let Jesus out. The angel rolled the stone away as a witness so that everyone could see that it was empty. You don't need to roll the stone away to let Jesus out. He's coming out. Verse 4, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Trinity Baptist Church, God decided to act, and no guards are going to stop it. No guards are going to stop it. This is number one in your notes. In your bulletin, you should have a note sheet. Feel free to follow along. I've got some blanks for you just to kind of help you follow along. Number one, all the power of man cannot stop God from doing what he wants to do. Job 42 verse 2 says this, I know that you can do, that's God, I know that God can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Look at verse 5. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Can you imagine the scene? One thing you should do when you're studying the Bible is enter into the story. Pretend that you're there. Imagine being there. The women show up and the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty and there's an angel and the angel says, he's alive. Go tell his disciples. Go tell his disciples. A beautiful scene. The angel says, he has risen, listen, just as he said. Jesus said he would rise, and he did. Why do we know that Jesus is the truth? Look at Revelation 19, verse 11. Behind me on the screen, I saw heaven standing open. By the way, same author, human author. This is John that wrote Revelation. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Who is that, Trinity Baptist? Who's the rider? It's the Lord. The Lord Jesus. He is faithful and true. He rose from the dead just as he said he would. If Jesus says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And Jesus says if you put your faith in him, he will grant you eternal life. He is faithful and he is true. Verse 5. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. What are they supposed to tell the disciples? He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. The angel not only announces the resurrection, but gives the women a job to do. Go and tell the disciples. Number two in your notes. You and I are to commit our lives to spreading the word that Jesus is risen. Would you tell someone else today? Would you tell someone else why Easter is so important? Would you tell someone else why you came to church today? Jesus is risen, and we, his followers, are commanded to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8, behind me on the screen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. The women were afraid, yet they're filled with joy. They're filled with joy. Joy. Brothers and sisters, we have a message of joy. We have a message of joy. Because my sister lives in Arkansas, I travel back and forth. My mom lived there until last year, and I would travel twice a year to Arkansas to be with my mom and spend time with her. So, meaning, for the past multiple years, I've been on a plane at least twice a year for a long, long, long time. And I try, by God's grace empowering me, I haven't got it in myself at all, but I try to ask God to give me the courage and the strength and the words to share the gospel with the person sitting next to me. And I don't try to share I don't try to give them the whole Bible. I just want to be a witness. And years ago, I was talking to a man, and I was talking to him about Jesus, and he admitted to me, he said these exact words, he said, "Dave, I am afraid to die." A lot of people are. A lot of people are afraid to die. Brothers and sisters, you got the best news ever. You've got the best news that anyone will ever possibly hear. People do not need to fear death. Jesus has delivered us from the fear of death. Amen? We do not need to be afraid to die. And the people out in India that are not in this building right now, that are doing something else, there is no need for anyone to be afraid to die. The only people that should fear death are people that have rejected the gospel. But there is no need to fear death. People are afraid to die out there. Right now on Monroe, there are cars going back and forth all day long. Even as I preach the gospel, they're driving by. They can't hear what I'm saying. They're not going to hear what I'm saying unless we tell them. And it's a message of joy. It's a message of joy. Do not be afraid to share the gospel with people. Your love for them must overcome your fear. We have a message of joy for everyone. Verse 9. Suddenly Jesus met them. These women. Jesus met them. "Greetings," he says. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. These women are overwhelmed with adoration, joy, and reverence because they are in the presence of the risen Son of God. And if you are born again here in this room, one day you will have the same vision. You will see him. You will see him someday if you are born again. I want you to imagine that with me for a moment. Jesus returns and you are resurrected and you see him face to face and he walks up to you and he says, "Greetings." I mean, wow! The women are filled with joy and overwhelmed. And if you're born again, you will have that same vision. And if you're not, you'll see him too. But you're not going to want to. If you have rejected the gospel, you will see him someday. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to say. You're going to say, "Mountains, fall on us. Hills, cover us from the wrath of the Lamb." Verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." He says, "Let's meet in Galilee. I'll meet you in Galilee. Go to Galilee." But what does he call them? What does he call them? Brothers. These men that abandoned him in the garden. Peter, who denied him 3 times and even called down a divine curse. these men that fled. He says, tell my brothers to meet me in Galilee. I want to show you something really great. Would you keep a bookmark in Matthew 28 and turn just a few pages to the same book? It's Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Join me in Matthew 12, please. Matthew 12, at the end, verse 46. While Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and his brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward who? The disciples. The disciples. He said, behold my mother and my brothers. Why? Verse 50, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Turn back with me to Matthew 28. Let's keep going with verse 11. Matthew 28, 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. Can you imagine that report? What happened? Look back at verse 2. Behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his garment as white as snow. The guard shook for fear and became like dead men. That's the report. You want to be on guard duty that day? That's the report. Verse 12. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan. Now watch this. Watch this. This is proof of the resurrection right here. After the report of the elders, after the report of the guards, the chief priests and the elders have to have a meeting. There's a crisis. There's a crisis. And what did they do? They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. The story was probably already circulating when Matthew is writing his gospel. Look at that. I need you to see this. This is proof of the resurrection. If Jesus was still in the grave, there's no need to bribe the guards. There's no need for a meeting. There's no need for the exchange of money. All they have to do is go look at the grave. All they have to do, the enemies of Christ, all they have to do is go to the grave. They knew where the grave was. Don't believe anyone that says they went to the wrong grave. They knew where the grave was. They posted guards. All they have to do is go look at the grave. Oh, there he is right there. What's your problem? No, they had to have a staff meeting. There had to be a large sum, look at the word of God, a large sum of money. The Pharisees and the elders had to cough up this huge sum of money to keep them quiet. Why? because Jesus is alive. What is the significance of the resurrection? Why do we celebrate it? Why is it so important? Number four in your notes, the resurrection proves that Jesus truly is the Son of God. The resurrection proves that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Romans 1:4, behind me on the screen, who was declared the Son of God with power. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God. How? By the resurrection. By the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Number five, the resurrection proves that Jesus will give us eternal life. The resurrection proves that Jesus will give us eternal life. John 11:25-26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Jesus is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. Number six, because Jesus rose from the dead, he lives forever to be our Savior, King, and friend. Hebrews 7:23 says this, the former priests, the Old Testament priests, the Levitical priests, the priests in the Old Testament, on the one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. That makes sense, right? If I die, you need another pastor, right? That makes sense. You can't be a priest. Now, I'm not a priest. I'm not a priest. Don't ever call me priest. I'm not a priest. I'm a pastor. There is a completely different role. However, gotta have a lot of priests because they keep dying. You cannot, listen, you cannot function as a priest if you are dead. Verse 24, but Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently, therefore he is able also to save forever those who are drawn near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is alive today. And where is he? He's at the right hand of God, representing every believer. Number seven, because Jesus rose from the dead, our relationship with God is restored. Look at Romans 4:25. He, that is Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Number eight, because Jesus rose from the dead, all those who are united with him are born again. We were dead spiritually, but now we are alive. I've got to read that one to you. Keep a bookmark in Matthew and come with me to Romans, please. Romans chapter 6 in your Bible. And let's read that together. It won't be on the screen, so please follow along. What shall we say then? Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We are spiritually alive because he is alive. And we're united with him in death and resurrection. Number 9. Because Jesus rose again, his followers will too. Because Jesus rose again, his followers will too. 1 Thessalonians 4, behind me on the screen. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. That means dead. So that you will not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And finally, number 10, the resurrection means that you should never give up. I'm going to take you to one more passage and I'm done. One more and I'm done. Please turn. You're in Romans, hopefully. The very next book is 1 Corinthians. Go to the end of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, 1-5, and verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now I say this, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-5, 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. That makes sense, right? What's flesh and blood? It's this. This is flesh and blood. My body, you have the same one. You cut us, we bleed. We're made of flesh. And we are what? We are perishable. We are perishable. Which means what? We go bad. We die. We're talking about eternal life, right? Does anybody in this room, don't raise your hand, feel so good physically that you are confident that you will live forever? It can't happen. You cannot have eternal life in this body. You can't. Well, how does it work then? 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. That's death in the grave. We will not all sleep, but we will be what? Changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised. What? Imperishable. Oh, wow. Jesus comes back, believers rise from the dead, and you're going to look and you're going to go, hey, this is great. Imperishable. And we will be changed. Verse 5:3, for the perishable must put on the imperishable. And this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Can you picture that? Can you picture that? I tease my wife, who's out throwing eggs everywhere right now for the Easter egg hunt, but I tease my wife. I say, bury me next to Carrie. Bury me next to Carrie. And I've told you this, Carrie. No, Sharon, you need to do this for me, please. Bury me next to Carrie. And I've told Carrie this. Sharon, Michaela, listen to me. You need a big casket because that's got to go in it. Because Jesus is going to come back. And we're going to be raised. I'm not kidding. It's actually going to happen. Jesus is coming back and we're going to be raised. And I want to be at Avenue 52 in Jackson with the rest of you. And I want to get up and I want to turn around. And I want to see Carrie there with the keyboard. Come on, Dave. And I want all of you to say, death is swallowed up in victory. Won't that be a day? Verse 5:5. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Sin is what makes death so bad. Because sin is fatal. And if you're here this morning and you do not believe in Jesus, your sin will kill you. And you will be raised. You see, everybody gets raised. Everybody. The non-believers, when Jesus come back, they will be raised too. Oh, but the non-believers will not be singing. They will not be singing. They will say, mountains fall on us. Hills cover us from the wrath of the Lamb. Verse 5:6. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. What does that mean? It means if all you have is a system of good works, that system itself will kill you. You just have these rules. Do it like this. Come to church. Read your Bible. Do good. Put money in the offering plate. Be a good guy. Be a good wife. Be a good citizen. You can't do it. You can't do it. But thanks be to God. Verse 5:7. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Trinity Baptist, therefore, Trinity Baptist, because of all we have just read in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, on this beautiful April 1st, 2018, our command today, how are we supposed to live today? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You're here today and you say, I don't know about all this. Jesus is coming back and I'm going to be terrified and pray that the mountains cover me from his wrath. I don't know. Acts 17:30, behind me on the screen. If you don't believe what I'm saying, please get yourself a copy of one of these and go home and check it out. Acts 17, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere, that includes every single person that has ever existed, all people everywhere should repent. Repent means I am living for sin. I am living for self. I am pleasing myself. I am not worshiping or following Jesus. I am going to forsake that life and turn and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Why should you repent? Because he, that is God, has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. God has scheduled the day of judgment. It's on his calendar. And on that day, he will judge everyone through Jesus Christ. He is the judge. Jesus Christ, he is the judge I keep seeing on Facebook, no one can judge me, no one can judge me, no one can judge me. That's not true. There's one person who can and will. How do you know I'm telling the truth? How do you know I'm telling the truth? Acts 17, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Gracious Heavenly Father, the resurrection is proof that judgment is coming. And we thank you so much that through Jesus Christ we have eternal life. In his name we pray. Amen.